Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You're saying you'd be irritated if we trashed on the movie we're talking about today?
Maybe. Did you know that I liked this movie that much when you said you picked it?
I don't know. I guess we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I knew Jorge had feelings about it when he picked it.
Mm. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Goes There Podcast, episode 393. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Reed.
Well, here we are, gentlemen.
What y'all watching, hoes?
What? That's, dude, I'm gonna use that. That's on brand. Just jump it, go it, fuck it, jack it.
Hey, no. How's your week been?
I'm sorry, what?
Come on, man.
No, we gotta let
you loosen up.
No, you gotta sit in this awkwardness now.
Yeah,
I gotta stew in my own juices.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a good week, you know. We up to 393. We are 7 away from our grand 400th episode, and we have no clue what we're gonna do for such a special occasion.
True, dude. We don't know shit about shit.
But we must begin considering such things. Soon.
What did we do for 300? We did like a wasn't you were here, weren't you?
I was here for a March Mayhem bracket.
Ah, that's what we did.
Yeah, I don't know if that was 300 though.
Oh, was that 300 or was it the best movies, our favorite movies of the 2010s? And then 200 was Father's Day and Alien.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. It was also very good movies.
Yeah.
And drastically different movies. And I loved the fucking 2010s discussion. I didn't love, goddamn, that Jorge and Matt decided to align against me and sacrifice their own personal integrity just to fuck me to give Don't Breathe supremacy over Mandy. Yep. Which has not aged well. It didn't age well when it was said, and it's been a couple years since, and it's aged
less well?
Less well.
Damn.
Decidedly less well. Mandy continues to grow in stature, and then
there's been a sequel to Don't Breathe that was terrible.
That was absolutely fucking rape-tastic.
Will it make the top 10 of the next decade?
What, Don't Breathe 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like, Don't Breathe 2 is superior to Oppenheimer.
Oh, fuck. Well, I mean, there's no reason to meme anymore, so I don't think I'd be going down that road.
No, I don't think so. That's true. But, how's your week been, Jorge?
It's been good. We've had a bunch of family over the last couple few days. A couple birthday parties here at the house, and it's been lovely.
Dude, summer's beginning to wind down.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be hot as fuck for the next, like, 2 months.
Oh, man. It is going to be hot as fuck for the next 2 months. That's
you
true,
mean, like,
right?
the season of
the
summer.
The season, the energy of, yeah, not the energy of it being hot as fuck, because, yes, now... Now that, you know, climate change, the myth of climate change.
Nah, dude.
It's still going to be hot as fuck into November in San Diego.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it goes now.
I was in Santee today and it was at 3 o'clock. It was 98 fucking degrees. And too much. It's too much.
Well, it was Hi Sophia's birthday. We went to Lips. Which was dope.
It's a cool establishment.
It's a cool place. Many people here in San Diego have been there, of course, and she had never been. And for Sophia, this was great. She loves, as you guys, she loves fucking.
Did you guys go during brunch?
We went for dinner, and I had reserved a table right next to the stage, which was great. And it was the presentation. That's not what you call this. The show they were doing, the drag show they were doing, was like glamorous.
Yeah.
Glamorous bitches.
They do a not bingo. Is it bingo? Yeah, they do a drag bingo on Sundays for brunch, and it's fucking awesome.
That does sound awesome. And you It was, I was, you know, I don't want to put you on, but you know very many of the
locals. Yeah, I know. I'm friends with a couple, know quite a few. There was a moment where with my ex, we were going out every Wednesday to Gossip Grill, the lesbian bar in Hillcrest. Yeah. And it was every Wednesday they had a thing called, what was it called? Booby Trap. And it was a burlesque drag show.
When
thing.
Did you decide to stop being a lesbian?
When I broke up with one.
Wow.
Holy shit.
No. Well, yeah, no.
Fucking. No, man, it was cool because I'm like, damn, Jacob is fucking well versed.
So I've been to about 40 of these weekly things. So that's like 200 individual drag and burlesque performances I've probably been to. And it's fun. Yeah, they're a good time.
That's cool. Yeah, because like when I was reading the text, I was like, because also, you know how you do the scare actor thing?
Yeah.
So the theatricality, the dress up, it's dope.
It is, yeah.
And we head to fucking Palm Springs the next day, which was a great idea because it's hot in San Diego. And so
just
Palm
Springs was hotter.
Was very tolerable. It was actually, it wasn't. It was fucked.
Yeah.
No, but we had prepared. Like when you're going to Palm Springs, you're like entering a different planet. You're like, I'm going to
it's Mars. Mars. It's
I'm
fucking
going
Mars.
Next to the sun.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah, so I know what to expect. You're like, oh, it's going to be fucked the moment we stand. Oh, yes, it's fucked. I'm so glad we're here.
As I expected, it's fucked.
Yeah, and they moved the crazy baby fucking...
The crazy baby fucking?
The crazy baby fucking. No, there was an art installation there of these babies.
Fucking.
Fucking with barcodes on their heads. And they've moved it for some reason. So that was unfortunate, but then, we went and, looked at the meteor shower at Joshua Tree and the peak hours are between midnight and like 4 a.m.
Oh, that's the witching hour.
And luckily no one else had this idea. Psych! There was thousands of fuckers out
God
there.
God damn.
There was thousands of fuckers out there and it was still really cool though. And it was great visibility and we got to see a lot of the meteor shower. Like a bunch of what looks like shooting stars. And when we left around 3 a.m., we got home at about 7 a.m.
Damn.
And then slept till 2. It was fun, though. It was fun. And never again. Next year, we can go to, Borrego Springs or out by a fucking Lake Cuyamaca. You know, we've done that before.
It's not like you'll get a different view of this, you know. Yeah. Even if you're 100 miles somewhere else, you'll probably get the same view, right?
Actually, yeah. You mentioned Lake Cuyamaca. We actually went out there on Sunday.
Sunday?
How was it?
We went fishing. And Quinn actually caught a fish. And our children caught 20 crawdads.
Whoa.
And ate them yesterday. Fucking crazy.
That's cool.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I
they
mean?
They boiled those bitches?
They boiled the fuck out of them bitches.
Hunter gatherers.
Yeah.
That's different. That's different, Jorge. What about you? What was your week like?
No movies. Didn't have time. Just work and then going home and playing video games. I've been fucking around with this little retro handheld thing that I've filled with a bunch of emulators and ROMs and playing a lot of old school beat 'em ups. I never owned a Sega Genesis. So
many people did.
Yeah, I watched a whole documentary of like the units sold. They sold like a tenth of what Nintendo always.
I had a fucking Sega.
But I was jealous of all my relatives and friends that had one, and I've always wanted to play one. I've never played any of those games. I never played a single Sonic in my life. And,
Eternal Champions.
Yeah, Golden Axe, whatnot. So
Altered Beasts.
I played Altered Beast for the first time. That was fucking cool. The art style is fantastic. And I've just been playing that out of all the different little consoles in the retro thing. It's just been all Sega Genesis lately.
Yeah, Sega was heavy into horror-inspired video games.
With how they did the advertising, it was supposed to be like the edgy version that had Mortal Kombat.
Like Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, it was kind of the bro.
It was the first to get to 16-bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say the first.
It was kind of
before Nintendo.
It was the first with the disc with the Sega Saturn CD or whatever.
Yep, and it failed. But yeah, they were first.
It failed miserably, but they were first. I remember, dude, I saved up however much it cost to rent a Sega Saturn from Blockbuster, and it was such a disappointment because I think the only game they had was like Neverwinter Nights. Some fucking
oh really
goofball ass shit. It was like a flying jester. And I spent like $200 to play this
Pilot Wings with a
shitty ass game for 3 days, and I was like, "Damn, dude, I've been run amok."
Yeah, hell, motherfucking yeah.
So I've been playing that, and then the PS1 emulators. I've been revisiting some old games from my childhood. Fucking, there's this game on the PS1 called Apocalypse. It is a top-down shooter starring Bruce Willis, and he did all the voice, and they used his face and character and everything. And
that reminds me, I need to rewatch Hudson Hawk.
And it's a crazy thing. He's fucking voice acting the shit out of it, and you're fighting zombies, werewolves, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and it's pretty much like a dark gothic version of Fifth Element. It's crazy.
What? Did you ever play the Die Hard
PS1 game? It's like three different games in one.
I had a Die Hard game on GameCube.
There was the arcade one, the arcade Die Hard game where were like John McClane,
really?
And were like
side scroller.
Is it a light gun?
No. It was like an isometric.
Oh, really?
Like isometric, like kind of in.
So that was the PS1 game. Yeah. So it's like a top-down isometric shooter. So yeah, the Die Hard game, it comes with three Die Hard games. I don't know if it's supposed to represent 1, 2, and 3. I think so. And one is the top-down. One is a light gun game, which you have to use the D-pad. It's garbage. And then the third one might have been a car game. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Neat. Well, speaking of video games, Diablo's getting its shit pushed in by
the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre for PC.
Well, that and also the new Baldur's Gate game.
Holy fuck.
Oh yeah, I saw that shit.
I'm picking that up Sunday. Me and my friends are going to kind of play it all together, kind of go our different paths and talk about it. I might even do a playthrough because Courtney doesn't play like crazy RPGs, but I heard there's a thing where you kind of just have your girlfriend pick the path for you and you kind of play for her, so they kind of get to have some control over the character and choices.
What's that about?
Yeah.
Why do you have to? They need us to play for them?
Yes.
They can't play for themselves, dude.
Yeah, they can't play. They have to. They need someone to rescue them.
They need a white savior,
a damsel in distress.
Courtney, play your own game, dude.
We don't like damsels in distress here.
Yeah.
Fucking no Snow White, dude.
No fucking Snow White.
No Mary Sue's.
You're on your own, and get the door.
And put the toilet seat back down.
Yeah, for real. We're equals. Put it back. You know, if you're leaving, lift it up because you know I'm about to piss.
That's stupid. What a weird fucking, like, that's what I'm going to get upset about.
Yeah. You know I'm about to. It is, though.
What?
I die on this hill about the toilet seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3, you can, like, fuck everything in that game, apparently. You know, fuck bears, vampires, dragons, demons.
Fuck everyone.
They had to Octopus fucking compete with Zelda. Like, you can make this guy have a rocket cock. Like, you need to make sure we just have open world fucking fuck anything.
I like that his point of reference was Zelda having a fucking rocket cock.
It is great, though. As soon as that shit came out, they're like, oh, you confuse things together? Here's a cock.
Yeah, they call it in the industry, but they made a joke in that show Mythic Quest, but I think it's a real term they use in the TTP, time to penis. Mm-hmm. Like, when you create a something in a game, like, how fast will it take for someone to create a cock-shaped something in the game?
That checks out.
Well, it's just like in Counter-Strike, the fucking bullet holes in the wall.
Yeah.
The first thing they did was probably make a cock.
Yep.
Stick in the holes. What was that movie last year where there was the glory hole and the fucking cosmic fucking H.P. Lovecraft monster was talking to him through it?
Yeah, what was it called?
That shit was dope. I liked it.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons is the
Eldritch voice.
God. Yeah. Man, I've been not on my shit with movie names right now.
And Matt talked about it too. I don't think you ever watched it,
man. I thought you guys did an episode, no?
I don't know.
Didn't we?
I thought it was called Glory Hole. No, Glory Hole.
I don't know. But, just for context, that new Texas Chainsaw Massacre game is terrible.
I'm sure. There's no shot.
Yeah.
Nah.
There's no shot.
Nah.
What y'all watching, hoes?
I don't know if I like this character. I don't know. I don't know if I'm about this.
Go back to Snoop Dogg.
Brief Encounter. Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah, go back to Snoop Dogg.
Nah. What y'all watching, hoes, is good.
Is it?
We'll see.
So, let's see. We are Ronnie and I are, I've rewatched Hereditary since I've seen it a couple few times, but she's never seen the film.
Oh!
We're like 20 minutes away from the ending. And man, I gotta tell you, I was watching her face when Homegirl got her face, her head slapped off by a fucking telephone pole, and I'm just giddy like a fuck. I'm like, yes, yes. She loved it. She's loving it. We just gotta finish it.
I'm loving it.
Basically, yeah. And then next is Midsommar.
Wow.
And then you both can experience Beau's Afraid together.
And be let Disappointment Boulevard for you won't like it.
Damn.
I don't think you'll like it.
Really?
Which is good, because if I say that more, he might like it because he has to.
The thing is, it's 3 fucking hours, man. So
it's scared. It
doesn't matter to us, dude, because it ends up taking us 4 days to
anyway,
watch
it doesn't matter,
a movie
yeah.
anyway, so whatever.
It's a demanding fucking film.
Whatever, dude.
And I love it.
And I'm here for it.
I love it for that.
I love that for it.
I love it for that reason.
And then I rewatched Dr. Sleep while also listening to the audiobook. It's fucking dope. Both things. Both of the things.
At the same time?
Yeah, I was like, I would watch the film and then listen to the audiobook to the point where the film was.
And then masturbate.
Well, that's regardless. I was doing that anyway.
Yeah, okay. Include that. You know?
Can't leave that out.
Be thorough.
Yeah, please. Plus.
Plus.
Plus. What about you?
Nah, no movies, just video games and some YouTube, just watching weird little mini documentaries on video game history. I watched one episode of The Movies That Made Us on Netflix. Never watched that show till recently. They had a RoboCop episode, so
oh,
I watched that one.
I like it now.
Yeah. They have a lot of sci-fi horror episodes, so. Pretty cool.
Are you watching any of this drama with... are you familiar with Linus Tech Tips?
What is that? I watched one reaction thing talking about the criticism. Is it they just not doing their research and their work conditions or something?
Yeah, well, apparently there an employee left back in March for like really, really awful working conditions at the company. But like the impetus of this whole thing was, I guess, in one of... their videos, and this is like super, super deep fucking
yeah
tech YouTube nerd bullshit.
Hell motherfucking
but in one of their videos, they kind of called out two other tech reviewers for like, well, this is the way we review, and it's much better than these two other guys. And one of the guys, is his channel is Gamers Nexus, and he was like, hold the fuck up, and just dropped like a 45-minute expose on like Linus Media Group, the whole thing, like, you know, their standards for reviewing, and it was nuts.
Whoa, okay, I gotta watch that. That's the video I need to watch.
Yeah, the Gamers Nexus one from like 3 days ago that's 45 minutes is fucking unbelievable. It's a great takedown.
So it sounds like, yeah, a lot's unfolded in just a short amount of time.
Yeah. There's people saying that like this could take down Linus Media Group.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's that crazy.
I mean, they are the biggest,
yep.
you know,
yep.
tech yep. YouTube. Yep. That's yep. crazy. Yep.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah. You guys know who Yorgos Lanthimos is?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite director name to just say out loud.
Yorgos Lanthimos. Sophia had not seen The Lobster, and I had not seen it since like 2015 when it came out. Just full disclosure, when it came out, this was one where the girl I was in a relationship with at the time, she loved it, and I was like on my phone most of the time. Like, because I disconnected with it, and we were watching it. We didn't see it in a theater. That wouldn't have happened in a theater. But I like disconnected with it and then tried to get back into it, and you can't do that with that movie. Because I'm like, why the fuck are they in the forest? And what do you mean they turn into an animal? And blah, blah, blah. And it just like, it's weird because it shows like how much I've changed in the last 8 years, because I fucking love the movie now. I think it's fucking
loved it. Yeah.
Great. And it's hilarious. Like, that is deadpan. That is some deadpan black comedy. And it's a great movie because you can kind of decide what level of subtext you want to get in on. With any given scene.
I felt the same way about Swiss Army Man. Did you ever watch that?
I haven't yet. And it's the guys who did Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It's, yeah. I get that. When I first watched it, I was like, ah, this is like kind of goofy, and I'm not really resonating with it.
How far can they stretch this out?
But second, like my second viewing, and like a little, like I watched it again and then have like just dipped into my toes into a couple scenes. It's fucking good, man.
Yeah, dude, I need to watch that. I know it's the Daniels, right?
Yep.
The homies.
The homies. The little homies.
And I had seen Killing of a Sacred Deer, and I respected that. I remember, of all people, Matt loved that movie, which was strange.
I like that one more than The Lobster.
It's more horror-y,
I think. It's
My favorite so far, though, up until this rewatch, was I liked The Favorite a lot.
And that's the one I haven't seen. I haven't seen The Favorite.
It's great, but it's not. It's more grounded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you could tell that from the trailer and all the promotional stuff, all the attention it got. But he's got a new one coming out later this year, and it looks very fantasy, dark fantasy.
The trailer, it's a fucking trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And that was a fun watch, though. But Telemarketers is this new docuseries on HBO Max. It's produced by the Safdies.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's fucking great. And it's like, how could it be great? It's about telemarketers. But it's actual footage from these guys who worked for a place called Civic Development Group, CDG, which was like the template for all these horrible telemarketers that everyone hates. They were the ones that made up the thing of saying they worked for the fraternity of police officers and how much do you want to donate to the guys and all that kind of
shit. I still get that like every other day.
Yeah, there's different variations of it still kind of moving around because they just have to change the name. The thing is, too, how this would work, this is like real quick, is a certain agency would get like $2 million a year in charitable donations. So basically, these people, these investors said, we'll give you $3 million right now and you don't have to do any fundraisers, but we have to be able to use your name on the phone. And of course they said, sure. And that's how this happened. But dude, it's only releasing one episode a week. And you know how the Safdies fucking get down. And it's a docuseries that feels like that because you're watching it and it's getting very like the cringe uncomfortable factor is huge. Right. So they've only got one episode so far, but really enjoying that. And I wanted to get caught up with some other horror movies because for this whole year I've been like, that looks mid, that looks...
Yeah.
This looks like trash, whatever. But nonetheless, I wanted to watch some of the stuff. Influencer, I watched on Shudder.
That one's talked about a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw it was in the conversation a few times.
In the zeitgeist.
And the name was like, I don't want to watch that. It's called Influencer, you know, but it had a lot more on its mind than I would have thought. It's really well shot. And anytime I thought it was going to like go over here with the formula, it went another direction. So I have to give it credit for that. It's not like extremely memorable or something, but if you have Shudder and, you know, you're paying for the service, you know, see how much mileage you can get with it.
Okay.
Some good cinematography.
Okay.
Cobweb. Have you heard about this one?
Yeah. The director did Marianne on Netflix, and that is actually one of the scariest shows I've ever watched on
is
Netflix.
It?
Yeah. For me, the second half, no. It goes like It Chapter
Two
shit.
Is that the French one?
Yeah, I think it's, is it French? I can't remember
what language. It's
It's an international show. The first half of it, it's really strong. I liked it. Even Smile ripped like one of the scare scenes.
Yeah.
The scene where she's on the phone with 911 about like her alarm going off and shit.
Yeah.
Like almost like beat by beat was taken from Marianne. And that's, it's really effective in the first, at least like four episodes. Really fucking terrifying imagery, good tension building. Second half, it's not as scary because instead of being isolated, you got like a team of characters and it's like it, like with the adults and shit. Yeah. I didn't care for it. It's kind of forgettable, but yeah, the guy did this movie Cobwebs. I didn't check it out, but you saw it.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was the same guy who did that. Cause I had heard about that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Marianne. But, the guy has some chops with style and with gothic. This is like a very kind of gothic, almost fantasy feeling movie. And as it progresses, it became clear that it's more fantasy than you would think. Honestly, for most of it, I was kind of pissed off at it because the dialogue and the guy's good with like directing, like with composing a scene and his camera stuff and the style.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was good with directing people.
Is it English language?
It's English language. However, and this is one too where it's like Halloween's coming up. So pumpkins are in every other scene, like pumpkins, pumpkin, which is like, that's not something to get mad at, but it just feels very forced. But then like, dude, I'll be fucking damned if it didn't get to the last third, and it has one of, like, the last third of that movie is bonkers. It fucking it's, and I'm not even saying it's it doesn't like completely, the logic of it doesn't quite fucking hold together, but like it goes to a climactic third that is like, it's three things smashed together at once, and it's fucking really crazy, and it's one of the most impressive kind of set pieces I've seen in the genre this year.
Yeah,
but I don't want to say that. I don't want to like make the movie, like, again, the movie I don't think it's a great movie, but I was really impressed by the last third, but it really doesn't make any fucking sense, but I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to. Kind of lets itself down the very last scene, but I almost wanted to fucking recommend doing it on the show, because I think it's like got a future cult classic thing written all over it.
Whoa, okay.
Interesting. I will say that.
It's got the Homelander guy in it from fucking The Boys, right? It's
Homelander, yeah. And I haven't watched that show, but, you know, I've seen the memes.
Yeah.
No, and even their acting, I'm like, why is their acting like this? And then once it got to the final third, there's a reveal which I did not see coming, and it made it changed everything I'd seen before. And I was like, oh, that's why they're acting like that. And okay. So,
are the scares pretty okay? Because there's one that's a
couple scares, even when before it got to the good last third, there's one in particular, like a sequence.
Is it the one with the run? Someone's running out of the dark?
Someone was fucking running and it got dark, and then it shows a face, and then it goes again. And it was like, that was fucking scary.
That's the one. It's actually all over like TikTok right now, and it's social media in general.
I don't blame them, because that shit was fucking scary.
Okay. So it's worth a watch.
That person has chops with that shit. I don't want to be like, that shit was scary. And then all the horror people were like, this is not scary. August Underground is scary, bro. When they fuck the guts. Okay. But anyway. and then we didn't watch much beside that, though. Or anything besides
when
that.
When they fuck the guts.
Yeah. And what do we think of the Exorcist and Saw 10 trailers, though?
I didn't watch it.
You didn't do it yet. Okay. Fuck it. We'll do it live. After we take a break, we'll watch it on the break.
Okay.
And you can come back and fucking... talk about how much
just
like it.
Just be disappointed dad mode. Right,
right. We're going to take a quick break to watch a couple trailers.
Yeah. Scoot? Exorcist and Saw 10. You watch them too if you haven't seen them.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go.
It's going to come out when they're in the...
I don't know, fellas.
You had a disappointed dad look on your face.
Tell us what you thought about the Exorcist Believer and
Believer.
Part how come one. They didn't use Imagine Dragons.
They should have done that
for real. Yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah,
are you ready for 3 2-hour movies of this?
It's
a trilogy.
The fuck who was responsible for the new Halloween trilogy has said that he's already presumptively stated that it's a trilogy.
Wow. And I think they did some work on it because they did do a test screening and the rumors were that I think it was even booed, that like it was just really terribly received. And people said it's not even fucking scary and all this, and it just felt soulless.
How could it be?
Right? Yeah.
I mean,
explain. What do you mean?
There's no shot. There's no shot that this movie is good.
That's his thing. There's no shot.
Is that my thing? Have I been doing that a lot lately?
Just another time earlier tonight, but I think it's good.
Fuck.
Here, my thing is, again, we're doing a legacy sequel thing. Like, I got into a little spat. You know, Facebook is a fucking... I hate that place. But I was on there, there were people responding to the trailer.
Like bloody disgusting comments and stuff. Yeah. And
some dude's like, someone was like, I'm really skeptical. And then the guy's like, watch the trailer. They're bringing back Ellen Burstyn from the original. And I'm like, when has this worked out well recently?
Yeah.
Like, and also, what the fuck? It's not exactly Laurie Strode or any, like, what she did was she was a victim and a mother in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, she can't help you.
Yeah, no.
She watched her daughter piss and then called The Exorcist, which is hence the title, The Exorcist. She's not The Exorcist.
No.
She's an old white bitch.
She's an exorcist concierge.
Yeah, man. I just, you know. And in Saw 10, and again, I think it's like, so Jigsaw's dead, so they had to do a prequel before he was dead. Because reasons. Because we need Jigsaw.
Yeah.
So I look forward to watching both these movies, though, and reviewing them on the show.
Well, we'll do that thing where we say we're going to do it, and then we'll be like, nah, never mind.
Yeah, maybe.
The that Saw X trailer made me want more of fucking Spiral. For me, that's how bad.
Bring back Chris Rock.
Bring back the pig instead of the puppet.
Oh.
Yeah. What is it? What's
do
the
you
voice?
Want to play a game?
You want to play a game?
Do you want to play a game?
Do you want to cradle the balls?
Oh, what I think I did like a whole 5 minute bit being the fucking pig from the movie, didn't I?
Yeah. It was spot on.
Oh, you my
and Matt
God.
Both did. You did. Yeah, you did a good job.
I think the plot
is a good episode.
It's so bad. The Saw plot is so bad that it doesn't, for me, it doesn't even make the kills cool and enjoyable anymore.
I just don't think that's what, regardless if people are like, oh, the Saw franchise, I know it's not great, but it delivers. It's like, yeah, but are you invested in the saga of this? Like, it's for the kills, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've seen the majority of these Saw films. I still don't know anything.
The saga.
I tried watching a recap before Spiral just to see what it would be like, a 15-minute YouTube video. And just hearing this person explain the plot over like 9 movies or something, it was fucking crazy.
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not what these are for. This isn't Game of Thrones.
Well, definitely we need to have this whole backstory of homeboy going to Mexico to get fucking cancer treatment done, and then they didn't do it because Mexicans, I guess.
Hey.
Something cancer, something apprentice.
Didn't remove the tumor.
Yeah.
Something. Now you're all going to die.
Yeah.
Cool. Fucking.
So we're going to do Saw Month.
Jigsaw looking like the goddamn Crypt Keeper. Like, 30 years ago. Fuck out of here with that.
Well, guess what, Jorge?
Speaking of 30 years ago.
Oh, guess, shit. Fuck. Never mind. You fucking... Whatever.
No. You do you. And then I'll come back to speaking of 3 years ago.
Well, I was going to say we're back.
We are back.
Okay.
And speaking of 30 years ago, what do these people need to know about Patreon?
30 years ago, an organization was created... What was 30 years ago? 93? That's the year Jurassic Park came out.
True.
Right? So when a lot of you were watching Jurassic Park, we started up a website. www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Yeah, yeah.
This was before Patreon existed, before a podcast existed. But we knew, we anticipated the change.
Yeah.
We anticipated what was coming. And we've been preparing things this whole time.
You knew I would be born that year too.
Not a coincidence.
You're ready to raise me.
Another product and intersecting timelines from the Hard-On Collider, along with all those animals that you see on Instagram, they have never fucking existed before. They keep showing new shit. Like, here's a new kind of squirrel and it's like, oh, these have always been around. No, they haven't.
No, they haven't.
It's fucking bullshit.
I guarantee.
But
where everything started fracturing was when they incinerated the oxygen in Oppenheimer.
Absolutely. And things got fucking weird circa... Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point is, if we want to repair the timeline, you only need to donate $1.
Just send us some money.
There's $5. There's $10. There's a $20 tier. There's a $50 tier. God bless Hans, King Hans. He has decreed his next... King Pick will be Tokyo Gore Police, which I have not seen.
Sounds fun as shit.
It sounds like Tokyo Gore Police. I assume there's probably some Japanese chick nudity and gore.
There you go. Right. We also did a Patreon exclusive.
We did a Patreon exclusive recently. We did an episode on RoboCop 2, and it had an exclusive episode on Short Circuit 2. Also kind of Short Circuit 1.
And
1.
2.
1 yeah. and 2. Yeah, mostly 1. There. And you know, you get the episode early when you join Patreon, and very soon we're going to be doing the Patreon they pick the episode type deal, and www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Tight. Well, we do have a returning homie, the homie Jacob.
Oh, Astaroth Art.
Yeah, he's back again.
Hell yeah.
He kind of floats in, kind of floats out, but he's always welcome.
Welcome back,
homie. Welcome back, Jacobo.
Check out his art. It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, he's going to be pimping out the podcast at the next place he's going to be selling some of his artwork at. He wanted to spread some of the love, he said. So.
Yep. I've actually got some info about his thing that he's doing, if you give me 1 second.
That's loving.
I'm a big fan of that movie Brain Damage and that little parasite.
The little feller?
Almer, and he's got a great painting of that one day I want to get my hands on.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if this episode will be out by this time, but he's got a thing going on September 9th. called Scarefest in some fucking podunk city, wherever the fuck he lives. I don't, you know.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You ready? Chango.
I'm ready, dude. I'm ready for Ron Underwood's opus before City Slickers.
Pachanga.
Pachanga. He already did that show. Damn, bitch, go.
No, I was trying to process Snoop Dogg being at Pachanga.
Yeah, he already did it, man. It came and went.
Damn.
That's but, hey, Snoop, where are you playing?
Pachanga.
Pachanga.
China. So stupid. All right. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 1990's Tremors, directed by Ron Underwood, written by S.S. Wilson, Brent Maddock, and also Ron Underwood.
Fuck are they?
Starring Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, Finn Carter, Michael Gross, Reba McEntire, like out of nowhere, fucking Reba McEntire, Bobby Huckabee, Charlotte Stewart, Tony Gennaro, Ariana Richards, Ariana Grande, dude, Richard Marcus, Victor Wong, and a bunch of other people. Not really, but.
Yep, the writers. Yep, I know.
What? Yeah. What are the chances? That's fucking hard on Collider. Wait, dear listener, till you see who these fucking writers are.
I knew you were
are.
Looking that shit up, too.
I had looked into Ron fucking Underwood, and I had recognized the name, but. Jorge, go ahead. I defer to your wisdom and authority.
I have neither of those things.
Okay.
But curiously enough, Ariana Richards was in Jurassic Park as the older sister. I didn't know that.
That's her. That's the same young white bitch.
Huh.
I think Spielberg said, "You make scare faces good. I put you in monster movie." He's you know... Never mind.
Well, Jacob?
I just got one thing, and that's fucking...
Yeah, it's got to go. That's not a good score. Dude. And his name is like Troost, something Troost.
Some Troost, yeah. It's something, man. And you know what? This is...
Dude, this soundtrack is fucking bonkers,
dude,
brother.
This is one of my comfort movies, man. This is my childhood. It's probably my most rewatched VHS tape growing up. It's like a family movie. It strikes this perfect balance of thrills, horror, comedy. It's got fun characters, insane dialogue. Fucking Kevin Bacon with nothing to lose because he thought his career was gonna go to shit after this, so he just goes all out. And
is that the reason for this?
Yeah,
this
he really thought like this is it. This is my fucking career. I got nothing. I'm just gonna go crazy with it and have fun.
Why did he think that was gonna be?
Because he just saw the pitch. It's a giant worms, and he was like, okay, I guess this is.
And maybe he's like right after end of the. It's 1990, right?
Is it after Dirty Dancing? Yeah,
Flashdance and Dirty Dance, or not?
No, Dirty Dancing, Flashdance.
neither one of those. We're both fucked. Footloose. Fuck.
Wow.
Footloose and what am I missing here? There's another important film from the 80s that this fuck did.
Let's look.
Yeah, look up the Kevin Bacon. This is we fucking suck.
That risky was, business. Yeah.
That was bad.
I by the way, I'm a huge Footloose apologist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you say this is a comfort movie, that's a comfort movie.
Really?
No, but John Lithgow plays a shitty fucking preacher in there who smacks his daughter and says dancing is satanic. And then, you know, good old Kevin Bacon says, "Hey, it says they danced in the Bible."
Danced. And well, then, hold on a then second. It's okay. He was in literally like 20 movies before Tremors.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, wow.
Maybe he was anticipating, though, that he was going to just have a career as a young man and not transition into the next decade. But,
Well, that's crazy because he basically played bit parts in films up
until
Tremors. Oh, yeah,
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah, wow. It was a bit part. Well, and with the exception of Footloose. Footloose was a breakout role, but I see he didn't really have, like, another huge hit after Footloose.
Oh, no.
Anyway, go on, Jacob. So this is a comfort.
I think it's a playful, safe, timeless movie, and it's just goofy as fuck. And I'm a huge Tremors 1 fan, just like how we talked about RoboCop 2 the other. I'm more of a fan of just the first movie. I love the second still. But for this, it's like I fucking disregard the entire franchise that came after. But this first movie on its own, I just love it. I put that up there with, you know, with Gremlins. It's just that fun, like, entry-level playfulness of it. The characters are fucking just weird enough to just to be memorable, even though they don't contribute too much to the story, besides the central, you know, two or three. Like, I think it's one of the most insane bromances between the two unlikely heroes.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out if they were supposed to be brothers or if they're just like really good.
They're
good
both friends. Losers.
They're just cowpoke handymen.
No. Go on, sorry.
It's interesting set of characters. I like this kind of rural horror, all in the daylight, shot in the out in the open in Low Pines, California. No exterior lighting, lit sets. It's all just natural daylight horror, and I think it's impressive. And I like its kind of homages to like atomic horror, like Tarantula, Them, and all that out in the desert, the small town shit. And I resonated well with it as a kid. I don't enjoy it as much as an adult, but I still could easily. It's like my remote drop movie. If it's on TV, I might have to watch the whole thing. It's fun.
Tremors is, you know what? I hadn't seen this in at least 20 years.
Uh-oh.
I hadn't seen it in at least 20 years, and you played the music. At first, I'm like, and wow, no, and then God bless Fred Willard. You know, at RIP. Remo Williams, that guy fucking was dope. And you're right, it is a bromance. And I'm wondering, like, Fred Willard doesn't fuck? Why does he keep worrying about Kevin Bacon? Like, you get the chick. This like, you don't got to convince
He gets in the sequel.
Well, I mean, shit, man. What's the deal with him in this? But that's not the point.
Maybe he just wanted to see his bro.
Oh, the way he looked at him, he was such a supportive homie.
I saw this movie in 1990 in the theater in Vegas. Where I was a kid in Vegas when this came out, and this is set in Nevada, I think, isn't it? I saw the Nevada license plate.
I think so, Perfection. Yeah, I think it takes place in Nevada.
Yeah, and it was like, this was one where immediately as a kid you get out of the theater and you can play Tremors. Like you can.
That's what I did. I never played The Floor is Lava. I played The Floor is Tremors.
The Floor is Lava is basically the fucking, we have Tremors at home version.
Yes.
Of Tremors. Like, can we play Tremors? We have Tremors at home, and it's the floor is lava. It's fucking bullshit. The floor is lava.
Yeah,
but yeah, we did that too. And I liked it a lot as a kid. But yeah, I hadn't seen it at least 20 years, and it quickly settles into a fucking groove here with the characters and with the setting. Like you mentioned, it's in daylight, and nothing as it progresses. Like the structure of it is really fucking. What's the word I'd like to? It just keeps moving. There's plot point after plot point, and it doesn't feel like anything else. Like, it's essentially we're talking Jaws, but like under the ground.
And that's how they pitched it. The script was called Land Sharks.
Yeah. But the thing is, this lives or dies with your characters and with like the execution of these scenes.
Well, the creature effects.
Yeah. And the fucking creature effects and design. And they're fucking phenomenal still.
Amalgamated Dynamics, fucking Alec Guinness, Tom Woodruff Jr.
They're still good.
Yeah.
They're still great. And the suggestive stuff where you don't see the monster works forever because you don't see it. It's suggestive. When it gets into the... And it has this like real like problem-solving vibe because they have to continually... The plot isn't lazy. Even when they're like trying to... When they're like pole vaulting from rocks, which is not something you've seen in most movies, much less a horror movie.
Yeah.
Or an adventure horror movie, whatever you want to call this. Kind of both. They pole vault over to the truck, and it's not just like, okay, have them put the keys in the ignition. She's like, no, let me put the keys in my mouth, and I'll go head first into the back of the window. Like, it generates, like, real tension. It's not lazy.
Yeah.
I really fucking enjoyed it. Sophia had never seen it, and she had a blast with it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
She loved it.
And this story.
She's like, oh, that's a fun movie.
Oh, that's cute.
And they show nice chunks of people's fucking... meat in fucking helmets over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, we get another helmet with some brain matter. I like it.
I'm in.
And as it goes on, I hear less and less, wow, wow. And they got the guy, the you dad were, from you Family were,
you
Ties.
You ignore it more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what it was? And then Sha-na-na-na. We got the dad from Family Ties. We got Reba McEntire. And it's like, you know, they're like fucking the
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
That's my people, dude.
But, dude, they come in handy. And also,
they even make a joke about it. They're like, you know, maybe we should stop making fun of your views.
Well, and it's good to know that shit's been like a fucking punchline forever.
Yeah.
But it would come in handy in a situation like that.
Well, we don't know that they were racist.
Well, I don't care that they're racist. I just care that they're fucking survivalist, apocalyptic fuck jobs that think they're in control of shit because they own a bunker. It's fucking stupid. But, I mean, The Last of Us, you know? It's like that. It's like the gay dudes in Last of Us. But it comes in handy when the shit goes down, right?
I'm saying.
It does come in handy. That's it for me right now.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
You picked this movie, Jorge.
I did pick this movie. I've been wanting to rewatch this film for a good bit. And, like, I needed an excuse to rewatch, you know, a 90s film. But, you know... It forced me to sort of take a deeper look because I tend to watch the comfort movies, you know, you were saying, in sort of like a background capacity. So yeah. I really had to, you know, focus down on Tremors. Anywho, yeah, this movie's great. I will say that, man, when it's slogging, it slogs hard. There are times when I'm watching people interact, like that married couple that are like having this conversation before the generator goes out, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Just straight up just building a house in real time.
And they're like, oh, we gotta get cinder blocks tomorrow. I'm like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah, you're like, what are you even talking about?
What if we don't pick up the cinder blocks, then we don't have to finish the roof.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what if we don't do the roof? What if we just blah 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 blah? And it's like, okay.
The moment the POV shifts away from Val and Earl, it slows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Val and Earl's relationship is so fucking great, man. Like I think they're sucking each other's cocks. Which is totally cool with me.
This is the Brokeback Mountain.
This is the 2023 version.
I want to ship them, like, not being with women anymore. I want them to just be with each other. Yeah. That's what I want.
In the remake, I already heard that the you know, the seismologist is going to be a dude. So it's just going to be a bunch of dudes fucking in the desert running from the worms. You didn't know about the remake? I'm just kidding. Dudes in the desert fucking running from the worst. But, that sounds good though.
But anywho, I really, really like that they're not getting into the whole lore building thing of these fucking Tremors. Yeah. There's a little throwaway line where he's like, well, they could be from space, or they could be a government, you know, a government op or a mutation or this and that. And then it's done. There's no like, well, we gotta find the eggs because they're up in the mountains and this and this and that. They're just like, they're fucking worms, man.
The visual effects, love that. The Alec Guinness is like, we were so glad that there was no crazy notes. It was just worms underground, go crazy. And they only had only one obstacle, and it was to not make sure it doesn't look like a dick. And it almost happened because one guy's like, maybe you should have skin shielding on the head. And then they were like, nah, it looks too much like a foreskin. Dick. So they had to circumcise it. And
had a hard shell.
Yeah, and they said basically it was just a worm. And their one inspiration was like, we got to have a snapping turtle type of beak. And that was it. And the rest was kind of history.
Yeah, to touch upon what Jorge was saying, it's kind of a self-aware movie too. Well, it's very, like, it knows it's fun. It knows it's a little goofy. It's like a B-movie, but with fucking A-list production values, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much with the creature design and execution. But even the Asian character, like, you know, he's like, we need to name it. It's kind of like referencing the point you're making. Like, let's not get too into this. It doesn't matter what the name is.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter.
We got to survive.
Yeah.
And fucking let's figure out shit. And we got this problem solved. Now we have a new problem. We got this problem solved. And again, like, I was really impressed with that because that's the whole structure of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That and Melvin. Melvin saying,
Way to go, dudes!
God damn it, Melvin!
Like, yeah, I got one! You know?
This gun doesn't have any bullets in it!
Yeah. I thought he was gonna die. For some reason, I remembered. I had like, changed it in my head that he died, and he didn't die. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the shopkeeper dies, man, when he fucking eats it,
I was heartbroken a little bit because I'm like, he's just trying to keep everybody together, and then
Swiss,
he gets,
I got to use some Swiss cheese and bullets.
Well, I like the decisions of who dies in that sense. I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, they kill the old fucks. They kill the shopkeeper. This makes it just nasty enough to have the stakes, like, you know, it's not going to, by the time it's over, it's like, yeah, we didn't kill any of the main characters. But while it's going on, it's like, damn, they'll fucking kill the shop owner. They'll kill the old bitches. Like, we could fucking, we might be in for some serious peril here. Because they will fucking, this movie's mean. It has a mean streak because it kills old folks.
And when people die, it's taking a page out of Jaws when people are getting dragged around in the dirt and stuff. Yeah. And it gets vicious.
Yeah.
And just enough sense of danger for audiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of deaths, there's each death for each one of the, I think there's a total of four wormies. They're all different. Like the first one, like it's fucking cool. Like they're, I don't want
the the reveal is fantastic.
The reveal is fantastic. The running into concrete is fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
Where they start piecing together. There was one scene in particular. Oh, where they get to the old folks fucking place. And they're digging. They're like, where's the
and fucking... And the headlights are on?
Yeah, where's the golden oldies
that's
coming from?
Fucking brilliant, dude.
It is. Because it's such a, like... I've never seen it in a movie like that. And it's show, don't tell. It's a classic example of they know... They don't know exactly what's going on, but they know that it's fucked. And they know that it's big enough to take a car under the fucking ground.
Yeah.
There's no... We don't need dialogue. We don't need an info dump. It's just like they saw the fucking car in the dirt.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just moves. It keeps moving. It's like an action film. It's paced kind of like an action film.
It is, yeah. And I like the tropes that go back to like sci-fi shit with the female scientist lead and how they kind of flip that on its head and she's less of a damsel in distress and knowledgeable.
That was early for that, too.
Yeah. So, and that was cool. And even nice, like, why she even says, like, why are you asking me all these questions? Like, I fucking know everything. You know, I'm in this with you too.
Yeah. She was the one who had all the information, the knowledge. And also, it wasn't like an objectified, like, not that
wouldn't have been okay.
No, but like, she wasn't like, they didn't get like the finest actress in the world because that wasn't the point. And the point that went with Kevin Bacon's character arc of being with these fucking,
yeah, when he goes
blonde meth whores,
fucking great tits. Yeah. Again.
That's when I was like,
dope ass legs.
It's going to be this movie. And it's like, oh, no, it's not. It's going to be like early deconstructing this shit.
Man. Yeah. And it's thanks to the writers. They really wanted to flip every trope on its head. And it's written by these two guys, S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock. They wrote a little movie, what started their career, Short Circuit 1 and I think 2.
Oh.
Yes.
What are the fucking chances? That's hard on Collider, dude. And you could be like, oh, it's like, no, there's fucking hundreds of thousands and billions of movies. I'm just kidding. Man, it's like,
how many movies do you think there's ever been?
It's literally the last fucking movie we did an episode on. And you just happen to pick this, like, what movie are we doing? Jorge, Tremors. And it's these fucks.
Yeah.
And they wrote both Short Circuit 1 and 2.
Dang. And Tremors.
So basically, they're like better than Paul Schrader. They wrote... Oh,
geez. Wow.
They wrote... There's Taxi Driver, there's Raging Bull, then there's Short Circuit, and there's Tremors. Right?
Well, Short Circuit 2 also.
Oh, yeah. Ghost Dad.
Ghost Dad with Heart Bill Cosby. Holy shit.
So they worked with Ron Underwood, the director, again for Heart and Souls with Robert Downey Jr., and that did not work out. Remember that movie?
Goddamn Ghost Dad, dude.
We should do Ghost Dad on the show.
Never seen it.
Bill Cosby. That would fucking age well.
Think there's any abuse jokes in that film?
Probably, I hope so.
Right? There has to be.
Well, things can be rendered as abuse jokes now. And they were involved with Land Before Time, which is weird because that's the fuck who was the voice of Littlefoot in RoboCop 2.
Shit.
What's going on here? What's going on here?
I don't know.
Yeah, God bless him. Yeah. Now, this Ron Underwood fellow, this director, what do you guys know about this fuck?
You know more than I do, but this was his directorial debut. This was his first feature. And he fucking definitely took some sort of leap of faith with the genre. You know, Universal monsters. You know, Universal's known for its science fiction and horror for so many decades. And like you mentioned, this is a movie that was kind of hard to pinpoint, like, where it belongs. Yeah. And we'll talk about it later. You can talk about Ron Underwood, but this movie had some interesting performances in theaters.
And a lot of TV Ron Underwood has.
Exactly. He did City Slickers the next year. So
that's fucking awesome.
Ron Underwood was like on cloud nine after Tremors and City Slickers. And then he's like, fuck it. We'll do it live. I'll get Robert Downey Jr. and Heart and Souls. And then he did Speechless, which is a horrible fucking rom-com with Gina Davis. He did
Mighty Joe Young. Holy. Pluto Nash, dude!
He did The Adventures of Pluto Nash, which had a budget of like $100 million and made like seven. It's like, it's
so, that, so that's why in all the interviews it says Tremors is his best movie he's ever made.
Well, and this is the thing though. The guy had chops. You can tell with his scene construction, especially again about like set pieces. Like these are still very kinetic scenes.
Yeah. Like, the production designer, 6 weeks and built like a whole little small little frontier settlement out in the middle of the desert. And yeah. It's very alive and it feels very lived in.
Yeah, and like Jorge was saying, he did a lot of TV, and he really hit a stride, in my estimate. Well, he did Desperate Housewives for like 9,000 years, then Once Upon a Time, and Grey's Anatomy.
He's done a fuckload of Walking Dead episodes.
Walking Dead, whoa. Exactly. Frank Darabont said, hey, homie, I love Tremors, come work with me. And he's been doing TV almost exclusively the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And then he did Jorge's favorite show. He did one episode of La Brea.
Oh, hell yeah. He did La Brea?
He did one episode. Dude. The Fog. He's in his wheelhouse.
That's the Mammoth episode.
He did one of the new MacGyver and one of the new Magnum PIs. He's just all... He did the new Hawaii 5-0. If you're going to reboot a fucking series and it sucks ass, this is the guy
to might be that one.
He's prolific.
He's prolific. Yeah. He is prolific.
Interesting. Yeah, I was watching a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, little mini documentaries on Tremors, and they said it's an overall, like, incredibly positive environment on the production set. Like, everybody had fun. There was none of this sitting in your trailers and having to wake up early to go to a studio and do all that. Like, instead, they get to, like, almost camp out every night and get to enjoy this frontier land and get to go on this fun little set that they made out in the middle of the desert, and everybody just had a fucking blast with it, and they all felt like family and everyone had a good time. And then the movie came out and it was a fucking disaster in theaters. Yeah. And it came out in January and it came out the same year as Clive Barker's Nightbreed, and then both of them were January releases and they both did terrible.
Yeah, I got you right. Yeah, right here it said it opened January 19th, 1990, which is my birthday.
Oh.
Weird, dude. Another one, dude. No. And then number five, it opened fifth place behind Born on the 4th of July. Great fucking movie. Tango and Cash. War of the Roses. Really a dope Danny DeVito movie. And Internal Affairs, which I don't know what the fuck that is. But grossing $3 million. So it opened fifth place behind Born on the 4th of July and Tango and Cash and other shit.
Right? Wow.
Right? It dropped to number six on the second week, but stayed in the top 10 for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And now we're getting super specific.
I got a very short theatrical run in the end. It didn't last more than, like 4 weeks. But then obviously home video rentals became a thing around shortly after, and it got all of its legs there, and it became a fucking classic at that point, cult classic.
Tremors went on to become a massive hit on home video purchases, rentals, and television, becoming one of the most rented films of 1990. Because of this, it has gained a very large cult following over the years. Hence, Jacob here owning the fucking 4K.
Yeah, I bought the 4K edition. I saw some 4K, the vistas, the cinematography. It was so underappreciated when you watch it on VHS so many times as a kid. When you watch it, it's fucking incredible where they found this place in Lone Pine, which I guess they hold a Tremors Festival every year for it. But
that'd be fun to go look at.
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah, the place is beautiful. I'm like, I want to go there, actually. They got the crazy Rocky Mountains, and they got like Sierra deserts and shit. It had everything they needed for this type of production, for every element of the storyboard.
And has anybody done a graboid figure? Like, has NECA done like a graboid?
Dude, I would buy that. Like, this size, I would buy that in a
heartbeat. I'd buy that for $1.
Stupid. Are you guys familiar with any of the sequels? Have you guys watched any of them?
Most of them.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I've only seen the first three. And there's like seven or eight of them.
Have you seen five, dude? Five is incredible. It's a prequel. It's a Western prequel.
Yeah. You get the ancestors of Walter Chang.
That one will fuck you up, dude. And then we get into the flying ones, and it's nuts.
The ass blasters. Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's what they're called. They have walking chicken leg walkers, and they're called ass blasters.
Yeah. That's in the sequel. That's in number two.
And Fred Ward returns in the sequel.
Shit, I'm way out of my depth here.
Yeah.
There's flyers.
Ass blasters.
Yeah.
I thought that's what they're called. I thought that was something I invented.
There's the ones that like will fly and cut off your head.
Oh!
Very Starship Troopers. Yeah.
Super dope, dude.
And then randomly, the last three is when it like the actual budget like skyrocketed and became these like Netflix originals with fucking Jamie Kennedy playing Burt Gummer's son.
I remember that a few years back.
And they did a couple of those. And then they recently came up with a called Shrieker Island, and it's got Heater in it, the Napoleon Dynamite's in it.
Oh, Jason Heater?
Yeah.
James Heater?
Yeah, he's in it.
That boy's been hard up, man.
Well, I think after Blades of Glory, he's like, what else can I do? I've already proven myself.
Mm-hmm.
What? No, I don't think that's what happened.
Shrieker Island.
That's the newest one, yeah.
Let me ask you guys something, though. For the casual Tremors fan or Tremors viewer or the people who've never seen Tremors because they're like, yeah, whatever. Right? Obviously, all three of us recommend this fucking movie. Especially if you haven't seen it in a while, it's a good rewatch. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. But you mentioned Burt Gummer.
Yeah.
Now, that's the guy from Family Ties. The dad from Family Ties fucking character.
Sha-na-na-na.
Him and Reba McEntire. So, is he in all the sequels?
Yes, every single one. And then after starting from three, they decided to make him the lead. He's the only one who returned, but they
and
did
that checks out because there's a scene in here where he's like he's fucking pissed at Kevin Bacon and Fred, what's his name?
Fred Ward,
and he's like, why the fuck did you guys have me go with you guys and this and this? And then they're like, you know, who put you in charge? And I'm kind of like, yeah,
exactly.
He's kind of right, and so it checks out that he becomes the main character. Besides, they couldn't get the A-list stars after that. That's beside the point because they're the only ones who just point blank fucking killed one. That was like 5 feet from them.
Yeah.
They just fucked. And then he brought fucking a bunch of bombs, which would have like made them much more secure if some fuck job hadn't just blown up all the other bombs.
Kevin's bacon ass.
Make more sense that Reba McEntire, that the Trump supporters could just really fucking take these shits out.
Did you like that gun scene? Their little storage room?
Just because they're gun people doesn't make them Trump supporters, man.
Well, I bet they liked Donald Trump back then. I bet they said, you know what, that boy in New York, he's doing some good job. I saw, you know what I mean? They said, I like his real estate ventures.
Yeah, their town has like eight people, and like two of them are ethnic. They've got to be cool with those guys.
No. Yeah. They're so cool with them, they fucking live outside of the town in a fucking bunker.
Well, that's just because they're crazy preppers, dude. Then.
I know, man. I'm just having, you know. Look, I'm sorry. I know they're your people. But you don't even have a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. That's from Wayne's World. How many guns do you have?
Enough to necessitate a gun rack.
Enough to take out a graboid if it bursted through this fucking hole.
True.
Yeah.
What about an ass blaster? Could you fuck him up?
I could fuck up an ass blaster.
Yeah. You have an elephant rifle?
Yeah.
That's fucking dope. Yeah. That's when I learned what an elephant rifle was from this movie as a kid. I remember I was asking my dad, "What is that? That's an elephant gun." Like
your dad didn't know shit about elephants.
He knows all about fucking African.
He doesn't know shit about anything.
Savannah.
Anymore. He's Kraven the Hunter.
That looks good. It's Kraven time. Did you see the Kraven fucking trailer yet, Jorge?
No,
that'll be next week.
Please
next,
watch.
We'll do the Kraven trailer next.
There's
week.
So many good things coming out.
God dang.
And it's rated R, so it's gonna be good.
Hmm.
Sha-na-na-na.
So yeah, I think this Burt fucker, Burt Goodman, what is his name?
Burt Gummer,
which is unfortunate. But Reba McEntire, she's not in the sequels, is she?
No.
No, she made it big after
that. They had some like returning in Tremors 3. They had Melvin come back and the Jurassic Melvin. Park girl, I think. Melvin. And Melvin plays like some property owner and he's a total douchebag. And then I think he gets killed. But
please kill him.
Yeah, there's.
He's dressed like a Zoomer in this, which is dope. It just shows the cycles.
I like the without even just fucking forcing it in your face. There's like, you could tell like the what's causing certain vibrations and stuff. Like, I didn't even think about, like, you know, Melvin's playing with the basketball and that's what's causing him to do. Like, there's always like little small hints.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's the bullet machine. And
yeah,
again, like this real, like, it's the benefits of film as a medium is you have sound and you have like show them. Don't fucking die. We don't need dialogue for everything.
You can watch the whole movie mute and figure everything out perfectly.
Yeah.
Number four is the Western prequel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got the Walter Chang ancestors.
It's so lovely, dude.
Oh, and I saw a clip, yeah. Bert Gummer, his ancestor, he puts on a completely different voice and accent and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's like his own great-grandfather, and it's crazy. Dude, there's a fucking... In the fifth one?
Where's his chick in the sequel? She left him?
I guess so.
There's a scene, too, where she's like, just let it go. Just let it go. I love that scene. Yeah. It's like, damn, that's a good woman. She telling him, she calming him down. She's saying, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, honey.
She's saying, hey, big guy, sun's getting real low.
hey, they're entitled to their views. Hey, they're already settled in. You ain't going to change them.
Hey.
The machine's not moving.
Hey, feller. Hey, look, we know we can't do nothing about these people, and by me saying these people, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Especially that
shop owner.
Try that in a small town.
Yeah.
The shop owner and that other feller.
Try that in a small town. They're talking about Tremors.
Miguel is his name, I think. Miguel or Jose. I don't know. God,
that's you, dude.
Is that me?
He had his time to shine. He turned on the...
See, if things were in their right timeline, Bert Gummer is my people, and your people is that fucking guy. But things are jacked. So your people is Bert Gummer, and my people is that dude.
No, I'm both of those guys. That's where you're fucked up.
Oh, so I'm Melvin?
Yeah, you're fucking Melvin, dude.
You're Melvin.
Yeah.
Just hold a gun.
Whoa! Lady God, dude! Or the guy who gets in the tire. That's me.
Oh, Nestor.
He's all, get one. That's me. Yeah.
He's like, Nestor, not there.
He got fucking yeeted from existence, yeah. But then he was screaming like for 30 feet. That's great.
Well, what if I was the mom, like with the fucking, the overalls? The
Jurassic Park girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be the mom with the overalls. I'm good with that. I think I could cooperate with the guys with guns. I thought she was going to fucking die too. It just is like, damn, they got to kill her. But she just... You know, kind of disappointingly, she doesn't die.
She makes it.
Yeah, so each one of these things, the first worm, you got the concrete. The second one, you got the fucking firing squad and the elephant gun.
And you got two dynamite ones?
Two dynamites, yeah.
Well, no.
There's four total. You got one dynamite,
and the one goes off the cliff.
Yeah, oh yeah, because they try to do the dynamite again, and it spits it out.
Yeah.
It's smart. I love how it adapts and shit. It's a very smart creature.
And it's not like, again, not a deep thing, obviously, but you keep talking about having a plan. You need a plan, you know, and there's these fucking idiots saying this over and over again. But it shows really, like, it shows the value of being able to improvise, man, and being able to
Fucking line that Kevin Bacon drops when he goes he says we're planning so we're not gonna do it tomorrow.
I know what you're talking
it's
about.
Such a good fucking line.
He's being sarcastic.
Kills me because it's like, yeah dude, like just because you're planning doesn't mean you have
we plan ahead so we don't have to do anything now.
Such a great fucking
it's
line,
like Bill and Ted type shit actually. And then the final scene, though, there's this thing of let's get back to the rocks. Use the fucking dynamite to get back to the rocks. That's what everyone's saying. But then it's like, he's like, I don't want to fucking wait to die for 3 days. And then, like, little do you know, like, it's a good metaphor, bro. Like, you have a solution right here in front of you if you have the balls to, like, try it out. But he could have easily used the fucking, the bomb or whatever, the explosive, and then they just fucking all wait there to die. But... Because he's Kevin Bacon, he found a solution within
he footloosed their asses.
He footloosed the fucking worm.
Yeah.
And he does that twice. He just he just concrete once. It's like accidental killing a giant worm, which is bullshit actually, but it works really well cinematically.
Yeah.
And when it fucking goes through, it goes over the cliff, it fucking lands on the ground and they show all the fucking orange blood pop out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. They show its guts,
And someone mentioned Starship Troopers earlier. And again, that big fucking bug.
The orange guts.
The orange guts. I like the orange guts. And I love the fucking little snake grabber things. The little, yeah. That's a dope ass.
And that's actually what they use for the poster. Initially, like you're looking at it, like, oh, it doesn't look anything like the fucking Graboids. It's like, no, idiot. It's the fucking snakes, man.
Even
it's
for a little ass. Kid, I was like, I didn't know for like 10 years what the fuck was on the cover. It was like, what is. But yeah, this movie, apparently they said it failed because they just didn't know how to market it. They couldn't find in the marketing to strike the balance between horror and comedy. It was either like you know, be full horror or full comedy, and they just couldn't sell that to an audience because that hybrid genre shit just wasn't, you know.
Genre hopping.
Yeah, it just wasn't a thing back then, I guess.
Yeah, like a horror, like a sci-fi horror comedy. Like what?
Sci-fi horror comedy action western.
Like man. What? Like what the fuck?
Like when you think of horror comedy, you got Gremlins. and Gremlins is very safe. Like this movie actually has some hard kills. It has its Jaws moments, its thrills. It's. I was freaking out during when the couple got killed when they swallowed their car and
the
shit.
The whole ass
like,
car?
That scared me as a kid. And there was some frightening shit in this. But yeah, Kevin Bacon ended up, even though he was so hesitant that he loved this movie, he considers it one of his favorite movies of his entire career afterward. And so much so that they have a canceled sci-fi channel series. Did you know about that?
Yeah, I did watch some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They canceled the pilot after the pilot. They've only aired little bits and pieces of it, but that would have been great because, you know, for me, I don't care too much about Bert Gummer. And it would have been cool to see what happens if they. Did like a legacy sequel after
brother,
this
I
one.
Invite you to watch the rest of these shitty sequels. I highly recommend them.
I watched the trailers for all seven of them, and I'm like, I'm kind of on board. Maybe I should do it, but yeah.
You all right over there, dude? Fuck off, dog. Don't fuck with me.
You know, one of the Tremors, it was before Shrieker Island, the one, it's like in the snow. They had to, they couldn't film in the snow, so they filmed in a desert and made it blue.
Oh my god!
So they're dudes yeah. wearing like fucking parkas in the sand, and the Graboids actually coming out of sand. They're supposed to play it off as snow.
Well, it's like that bullshit where they film things during the day, and then they do that like dark filter yeah. on. It's the worst fucking effect, man. You know you're in a shitty movie when you're like, well, we're filming during the day, and we'll just make it night. Don't worry. What the fuck are
look at
you?
Me so I can smile. Fuck. Thank you. You got a real picture right there. So, Tremors, 1990. How many stars out of five, Jorge?
That's a 3.5-er.
It's 4.5 for me.
4.5.
Damn.
I'd say at least 3.5, and maybe for this
for what it is.
I really like the inventive ways they get out of these situations. Yeah. There's cool shit. Like they're on a roof and the phone, and then like the guy calls him. So he's like, they're holding his legs while he's grabbing the phone, you know, from the roof. Like that shit's like, what can I compare this to? Nothing.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Jurassic Park fucking kind
of. So the score gets docked just because of the score, right? Just because of the music.
Well, like you said, it's silly goose time.
Yeah.
Like I kind of like.
So I should do a black and white edit with Trent Reznor music.
Oh my God, dude. Do a black and white edit
nah, with dude, fucking but you gotta have
Max Richter music.
All around me are familiar faces.
Who should do this? Who could you do I'll a do black it. And white edit?
I'm gonna do it with the music from Fury Road in it.
Oh my god! Junkie oh my XL. God,
Junkie
XL,
that would be dope. Oof. As fuck.
When I was still collecting vinyl, I got that soundtrack from Mondo, and it was like my favorite fucking soundtrack. It was
Fury
was,
Road. I don't yeah. think I even I got.
What's
that one.
The best part of that score?
And Brothers this, in Arms.
And don't say.
That's the one.
The reason.
The motorcycle scene.
I saw that 11 times in theaters because I just wanted to watch that one scene over
that's
and over.
Where, that, I didn't see it as many as
I you got like I'm almost emotional every time like that sequence.
Da, 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 yeah, 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 that shit's dope.
The fucking bullets hitting their pregnant belly and then the fucking engine. Open. It's like the fucking sand. I know like every beat to that movie. It's stupid.
Yeah, because you know, I had read all the reviews about it, and then I'm like watching. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Then it got to that scene. I'm like, oh,
this is transcendent fucking cinema.
I didn't know I was getting into.
I didn't know, yeah. Like, fuck, what was I thinking? This is state of the art.
And then it just gets better when you go like,
and it keeps just going.
I got a baby brother.
Yeah. I had a baby brother. It was perfect. It was perfect in every way. Dude, that shit's dope.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. Mad Max Fury Road.
What?
Let's do Mad Max Fury Road. No, we all know. All three of us fucking love
yeah,
the movie.
No, yeah.
There's nothing left to be said about that movie.
No.
Did you guys have to rent this?
I got the 4K. Arrow Video.
Yeah, you're all, I got the 4K. Yeah. Hello.
I've got multiple releases of it.
Hi, girl. Did you rent it?
I did have to rent it.
Me too.
On Amazon.
I got it on the Voodoo.
Mm.
Good. It's a great Godsmack song. So, speaking of which,
voodoo,
candles raise my
I'm
desire.
Coming back again.
Chuck, 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 chuck. It's like Don Henley's Phil in Hotel California. yeah, they're going on tour with Stained, by the way. So,
oh man,
if you're.
Who goes their field trip?
If you listen to the show and you like Stained and Godsmack, please stop listening. I'm just kidding. We should do a Who Goes Their Field Trip.
To Godsmack versus Stained?
Yeah. We need to come back with a full report of Godsmack Stained.
And then if like
Disturbed,
I'm going to have a full report of just the people watching that I'll be doing.
Dude, it would be bad.
Yeah.
It would be really like, we'd have to just like, it's like when they talk about being pilgrims in an unholy land. Yeah. That's what it would be like.
It's like that guy in the casino, scrape that shit.
Yeah.
That guy.
There would be a lot of that.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of that.
Well, I like that the caption for that was like, this man's has had too much to drink. I'm like, no, he's had too much of the everything else.
He's had too much fucking meth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is not too much to drink.
That boy is not drunk. That boy is...
Neither is the guy fucking talking to him like, scrape that shit, scrape that shit. He's fucking quacked out too.
Yeah.
He's fucking signing off on... He's like his coach. Like, he's like a boxer and he's like fucking, you know, don't put your hands down. Keep going. Like, he's his moral support.
See?
Yeah. See, you doing good.
Shit. Do we know what we're doing next week?
Is Old Boy?
Old Boy.
Old Boy.
I got my tickets for... I don't know when, but I got my tickets this weekend.
So I got it for Saturday. Old Boy theatrical re-release is in theaters at the time of this recording. And I hope some of y'all, a couple of our Patreon members went to go see it looked like. I saw on Discord, at least one of them. So.
Smashing heads, clapping daughters, right?
Wow.
Old Boy.
Oh.
That's.
Yeah, man. Clap them daughters.
Smash them heads. Yeah.
Bring your daughter.
Are you gonna be able
to slaughter?
What the fuck is that?
What
the fuck is that?
Never mind.
Are you gonna go see Old Boy in theaters?
I'm gonna have to.
Okay. That wraps it up for episode 393.
That does wrap it up. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree. Bye, Sophia.
Later.
I'm not gonna worry, wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.